Good evening, everyone. Welcome here to our midweek service at Calvary Baptist Church of Treherne. And also welcome to those interested in us via internet and FM signal here in town. Welcome. Please open your handouts to number 213. The light of the world is Jesus. Number 213.
Thankful that we can sing about the light of the world. We're thankful that we can also know that thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. Those who are saved have a hope that the lost do not have. Those that are saved can see things that the lost cannot see. Those that are saved have an opportunity to help others to know the truth, to know the forgiveness of sin. We're thankful for the forgiveness of sin that we can have through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for each one that's listening that is saved, that each one would be faithful to thee and willing to help others to know the truth. Pray for those that are lost, that they might see the need to humble themselves and turn to thee in repentance and trust in thee for their salvation today. We continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that souls will be saved in that country. We pray also for our own country, for the United States, and for the politicians in both countries and walking in darkness, that many of those would get saved before it's eternally too late. We pray that Thou wouldst help those of us that are saved, that we would understand that our hope is not in our governments, but it's in Thee, and that we would be trusting Thee and following Thee faithfully and seeking to help others to know the truth as well. May Thy will be accomplished, that we might glorify Thee, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And over to 259, the rock that is higher than I. Number 259. To 447, the lily of the valley. Number 447.
Heart, and now he keeps me by his word. So
Your Bibles and turn to the book of Ezekiel. Looking at Ezekiel chapter 12. From verse 8 through to the end of verse 16. Ezekiel 12, verses 8 to 16. And we'll stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Ezekiel chapter 12, beginning there at verse 8, it says, "And in the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, What doest thou? Say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, This burden concerneth the prince in Jerusalem, and all the house of Israel that are among them. Say, I am your sign. Like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity, and the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight, and shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out thereby. He shall cover his face, that he see not the ground with his eyes. My net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. And I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him, and all his bands, and I will draw out the sword after them. And they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries. But I will leave a few men of them from the sword, from the famine, and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen whither they come. And they shall know that I am the Lord." Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again that we have Thy Word. We're thankful again for reminding us of how important it is to know the true God. We know that we are living in a time today when most people don't know Thee and most people don't want to know Thee. They have no interest in the truth. And we pray, Father, for those that are saved, that we would be encouraged to walk humbly and faithfully with Thee, that we would be a light to the lost around us. And we pray for those that are listening that are not saved, that they might see that Thy word is sure. And just as the nation of Israel was judged in the days of Ezekiel, so too Israel is being judged today But the Gentile world is also facing thy judgment. And we know that those who are lost will stand at the great white throne judgment, and they will hear of their rebellious nature, and then they will be cast into the lake of fire. So we pray, Father, that many would be saved in these days of grace. Pray for wisdom, for boldness to proclaim the truth, and that we would want to respond to the truth in the way that pleases thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this evening is Rebellion Never Pays. Rebellion Never Pays. Last weekend, you may recall our devotional, I mentioned it in there, mentioned it on Sunday, that Iran attacked Israel directly. Up until now, since October the 7th, it's been Hamas and Hezbollah that have been attacking Israel, and Israel has been retaliating against them. But both Hamas and Hezbollah are being supported by Iran. But this last weekend, Iran chose to attack Israel itself. They sent rockets, they sent drones to try to penetrate the land of Israel, but most of those rockets and drones were intercepted before they ever got to the land of Israel. It's been revealed this week that President Biden was told by the Iranians beforehand that they were going to attack Israel, and that he agreed with their attack. But he told them to be careful how far they went with their attack. So President Biden is the same as President Obama was when he was the president. Both of them are funding Iran. Both of them are supporting Iran. And yet both of them also are suggesting that they are supporting Israel. So the taxpayers in the United States are funding the terrorists and also funding Israel. In Canada, we also have a government in place today that allows the Hamas protesters to protest openly in the big cities of this country. And the Jews are becoming more and more fearful because the government authorities and the police are not protecting them. And all of this is being used by God to help the Jews to see their need to go back home. They're not welcome in other countries. And while Israel is a secular nation today, it is still the land that God has given to them, and He is protecting them there. They will not be wiped out. Yes, many of them are being killed, but they will not be wiped out. And as we notice in our text here, that the Jews would be scattered at the time of Ezekiel's prophecy, and that's true today. They are still scattered across the world. But the time is drawing nigh where they need to be going back home. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to pray that Jews would get saved. We need to pray that Gentiles would get saved. That's the hope of man, is God's salvation. So in these verses today, the first thing that we see is that God was continuing to prepare Ezekiel for further service. Ezekiel needed to be encouraged. Ezekiel was a priest and a prophet. He was given a message from God toward his own people, and his own people were hostile towards him. They were rebellious, as it tells us again in verse 9 and other places as well, that the nation of Israel was continually rebelling against God. And since they were rebelling against God, they would also not appreciate what Ezekiel had to say. And the same is true today. If you are a born-again Christian and you stand up for what is right, if you speak the truth, you're not going to be appreciated by very many people. The world doesn't like the truth. The world wants people to agree with them and to wallow in the mud with them. But that doesn't get us anywhere. And so, just as Ezekiel here needed to be reminded again of the nature of the people he was speaking to, as you notice in verse 9, it says, "Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, what doest thou?" So again, we see that God knows what's going on the earth. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what you did today. He knows what your plans are for tomorrow. He knows all about you. And God wants you to know the truth, and he wants those of us that are saved to speak the truth. He wants us to be a voice of reason amongst the lost. We need to be clear on what the truth is. We need to also be clear in speaking the truth. People need to know the truth. And so the second thing that we see in this passage is there was a message that Ezekiel had for the prince who was presently leading the nation of Israel and in Jerusalem. So in verse 10, it says, "Say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God," again, Lord God, God, all capitalized, Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that's speaking of the Master and Jehovah. So God is in charge, and God reminded Ezekiel of this, and the people needed to know this as well, that God is in charge. He's never sleeping. He's never absent. So it says there in verse 10, "This burden concerneth the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel that are among them." Now notice that Ezekiel right now is back in Babylon. He's not in Jerusalem any longer. He was there in spirit. He wasn't there in body. But he's back in Babylon now, speaking to the captives in Babylon. And the message will no doubt also go to the Jews that are in Jerusalem. The prince, that's the king that was in Jerusalem at this particular time, and that king was Zedekiah. So let's go back to 2 Kings and let's read a little bit about this king, this prince. 2 Kings chapter 24. Jeremiah is the prophet in Jerusalem at this time in 2 Kings 24. Ezekiel has been taken captive. Jeremiah was never taken captive by the Babylonians. He was kidnapped for a while by ungodly Jews, but the Babylonians left him in Jerusalem because they knew that he would be an asset to them in helping the people to see the need to submit to the Babylonian control. The Babylonians were brought into Jerusalem by God because they had defied him. So their time of freedom was over. So let's begin there at chapter 24 and verse 17. And it says there, "And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah." So we see here how that the king of Babylon was asserting his authority over the king of Israel, of Judah, changed his name. He did the same thing to Daniel and to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah when they were taken captive. He changed their names. He gave them Babylonian names. And here, the king of Babylon, he changes Mattaniah's name to Zedekiah. It says in verse 18, "Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. So Zedekiah made things worse for himself. He was a puppet king put in place by the king of Babylon. He could have served in the fear of God, but he chose not to, and he assumed that he would be able to maintain his rule in Jerusalem, and he assumed that he would be able to rebel against the king of Babylon and get away with it. Now the date, if you want to put a date by that passage, we're going to read some more there yet, so stay there. But the date is 586 BC. That's the last of the three invasions of the Babylonians into Judah. 586 BC. So let's read in chapter 25. And it says there, and it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign. So remember, he's going to reign for 11 years. So it's near the end of his reign. In the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about. So again, that's in 586 B.C. that this is taking place. Verse 2 would be 586, because it said, and the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. So the final fall was in 586. So it took 2 years, from the 9th year to the 11th year. So what the king of Babylon did is, it tells us there, he pitched tents against Jerusalem, made forts on the outside, and just sat there and waited it out. They starved the people that were inside the city. They wouldn't let them go out for water, wouldn't let them go out for food. Now, if you remember, Hezekiah had built a canal inside the walls of Jerusalem to divert the water from outside into the city, just in case of a seizure against the city of Jerusalem, that they would have a source of water. And so that's why it took a while for the Babylonians to be able to starve the people out. They had water, but their food would run out eventually. So let's read on there, verse 3. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night, by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him. So he took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. So, keep that in mind. Now let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 12. Ezekiel chapter 12. And we read there in verse 10, say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God, this burden concerneth the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel that are among them. So it's talking about just what we read there, the prince, the king, and all the people. Verse 11, say, I am your sign, like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity. So if you think back to last week, you can see it there in Ezekiel chapter 12, that God told Ezekiel to make a sign before the nation of Israel, that or the captives, I mean, and he was supposed to, in verse 5, he was supposed to dig a hole in the wall, not go out by the doorway, but dig a hole in the wall and carry out his stuff through that hole. And what did we read in 2 Kings? The king and his men, they took their stuff out, they escaped by a back way through the wall of Jerusalem. They thought they could get away from the Babylonians. Now, if you look on a map, you'll see that it tells us that the king's army, Nebuchadnezzar's army, caught up with Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. So Jericho is at the border of Israel. It's at the Jordan River. They crossed the Jordan, and the first city that they took when they entered the land of Israel was Jericho. So the king, if you look from Jerusalem to Jericho, that's a bit of a distance. So the king was able to make some headway, and he probably thought the further he got away from Jerusalem, I'm safe now. But no, he wasn't safe, because God had a plan. God said, you're going to be captured, and Jerusalem is going to be overthrown. So as we read on here, it says in verse 12, and the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight, and shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out thereby. He shall cover his face, and that he see not the ground with his eyes. So the king Zedekiah escaped through the wall of Jerusalem. He took some of his stuff, and he thought, I'm going to get away, I'll be safe. But what does God say in regard to all of this? If we look at verse 13, it says there, my net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. So Zedekiah was going to be treated like an animal. When the people would go hunting for certain animals, they would take a net, and they would have that net set in such a way that when the animal came under the net, it would trip something, and the net would fall on the animal, and it would be entangled in the net. And then all the people needed to do is go there and kill the animal, and they had their food or their skins or whatever they needed from that animal. And here, God says, I'm going to treat Zedekiah like that. My net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. Why wouldn't Zedekiah see Babylon? Well, we read in 2 Kings 25 that the king Nebuchadnezzar took out his eyes. So he was blind. And he was taken to Babylon as a blind, defeated former king. And the Bible says he would die there. He would not see Babylon. He would be there, but because he was blind, he couldn't see it. So again, God knows what he's talking about. Ezekiel here is writing this before what happened in 2 Kings 25. Before the Babylonians captured Zedekiah, before he fled, and before they captured him, and before they took his eyes out, Ezekiel is telling the captives, this is what's going to happen in Jerusalem. There is no further hope in staying in Jerusalem. The nation of Israel, as we have mentioned many times, as God has mentioned, I should say, and we read, they're rebellious people. And God had enough of that. So now they were going to go into captivity, and there was nothing that they could do to stop it. You remember that Zedekiah wanted to believe in Jeremiah to a point, but the false prophets were opposed to Jeremiah because Jeremiah told the people to surrender to the Babylonians. And so the people accused Jeremiah of being a traitor, that he was telling the people to stop fighting for their homeland. Well, the fact of the matter is that there is a time to stop fighting. When people continue to fight against God, continue to despise Him, then there comes a time when there's no longer any opportunity for any more forgiveness. Now it's time for judgment. And that's what God shows us throughout the Bible. Today in North America, Christianity is for the most part a fraud. It's not true. It's just a facade. It has no reference to the Bible. And there are people today who claim to be Christians, and they don't base their Christianity on the Bible, but yet they're willing to judge other people who they think are not Christians, even though they also claim to be Christians. You see, it's a very dangerous thing when a person sets himself up as the standard of Christianity. The Bible is the only standard of Christianity. Just like the Bible is the only standard of what is a true Jew. And in the book of Romans, when we did our study on that, the Apostle Paul was directed by God to point out that not everyone that is called an Israelite is a true spiritual Israelite. And so here in our text, even though Zedekiah was a Jew, even though the people that fled with him were Jews, yet God was not protecting them. He was not standing with them. And he was going to allow them to be taken captive, and Zedekiah, because of his rebellion, he would be dragged to Babylon as a blind man. It's not that he went blind because he had some kind of an eye disease. He went blind because they took his eyes out. That would be painful. If you think about that, someone coming up to you, and I don't know if they took and they poked him out with a hot iron and burned them out, or if they yanked them out of his eyes sockets, but either way, it would be painful. And maybe he got an infection in there afterwards, or we don't know what happened, but we know, tells us that he died in Babylon. Very sad end. Didn't have to be that way. And Zedekiah certainly could not complain to God and say, God, you're not fair. He was given many warnings, but he chose to reject them. So in verse 14 it says, and I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him, and all his bands, and I will draw out the sword after them. So those people that fled with Zedekiah, some of them would be killed, but others would be scattered. And that's what we know today, that there are Jews scattered all across the world. There are some that have gone back in France some years back when they had that cartoon that was drawn about Muhammad, and some of the Muslim people in France, they raided, I believe it was a bakery, a Jewish bakery, and killed some of the Jews. And that incident caused other Jews to flee back to Jerusalem. There have been Jews that have left Russia and gone back to Israel. Jews that have been in different parts of Africa have fled there and gone back to Israel. But there are still many Jews scattered across the world. And that's what God said here. He would scatter them toward every wind. Every wind, north, south, east, west wind. Every place on the earth, there would be Jews scattered there. They would be fleeing. Instead of drawing to God, they would be fleeing and looking for protection. And as we've been studying the book of Esther, we see that Mordecai and Esther, both being Jews, neither one of them had any testimony that they lived in the fear of God. They were trying to blend in with the rest of the people. They didn't want to be seen as different. And they didn't have any hope to offer to the Persian people. They were not like Daniel and his three friends had been when they were there. Ezra was back in Jerusalem at the time of Esther. He was there. Nehemiah was there. They were rebuilding the wall and the temple. But the Jews that were left behind in Persia were the ones who didn't care to go back to Jerusalem. They didn't see any benefit. After all, Jerusalem had been destroyed. They'd been taken captive. They'd made a good life for themselves now in a foreign land. Why should they go back? It didn't matter to them that they should be the people of God. They chose to be secular Jews. And that's the same way that it is for many Christians today. We're not a replacement for the Jews, but many Christians today, they're quite comfortable living according to the world's standards. They love the prosperity that they have, and they can't see the danger that they're in by living compromised lives. They don't care that their neighbors are going to hell, and most likely they themselves are too. They just want to live the good life. So in verse 15, we see that God's purpose is the same. And what is his purpose? Well, it tells us in verse 15, "And they shall know that I am the Lord." And then in verse 16, "And they shall know that I am the Lord." In both places, the word Lord is all capitalized. That's Jehovah God. The self-existent God. The God who was well able to protect the Jews in Jerusalem, well able to keep them in Judah, but the God who was not going to allow his name to be continually dragged through the mud, and to allow them to think that they could equate him to the pagan gods of the nations around them. Same thing today. The true God is very merciful, very gracious, very long-suffering. But the Bible tells us that there needs to be a house cleaning in the house of God, first of all. And I believe that we're beginning to see more of that happening in our time today. There's a house cleaning going. There's still a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but they are being exposed for their fraudulent nature. But in verse 15, back in our text again, it says, "And they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries." So the Jews would realize that they had no firepower left. They had no defenses. Now they were going to be fleeing, trying to find some place where they could hide from the enemies. And then over time they would try to assimilate, try to become like their enemies so that they would be left alone. But they weren't willing to turn back to God. But God says, "And they shall know that I am the Lord." And the Bible tells us that there's a day coming when the nation of Israel is going to recognize the true God. They are going to turn to him, and they're going to know him as their God. In verse 16 it says, "But I will leave a few men of them from the sword, from the famine, and from the pestilence." A few men. Now, it's interesting when you think about the few men. When you think about the time of Zedekiah in Jerusalem, the prophet, as I mentioned at that time, was Jeremiah. Jeremiah spoke the word of God. He warned the king and the people of the invasion of the Babylonians. He told them to surrender. He told them they were going to go into captivity. The people didn't like him. Jeremiah suffered persecution because he told the people the truth. He told the king the truth. And very few people believed him. The false prophets were many. And the king and the people chose to believe them, even though they were wrong. And the same thing, I believe, is still true today. There's only a few people that actually believe what the Bible says, that actually want to stand up and say, this is the Word of God. The majority of what's called Christianity today is pagan. It's foreign to what the Bible talks about. Prior to Jeremiah, there was another good prophet called Micaiah, who was also a faithful man of God, but the king hated him. And here in our text, Ezekiel was of the same time frame as Jeremiah, but he's a captive. And so it tells us here that a few men would be left. They would not be killed by the sword. They would not die of the famine. They would not die of the pestilence. But they would be taken into captivity. And it tells us here that in captivity, it says that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen, whither they come, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So a few people, a few Jews, taken into captivity, would realize the reason why they were taken into captivity. And they may declare all their abominations among the heathen, whither they come. So some of that, over the generations, has become folklore, as is often the case. One generation has a story, but that story isn't heard properly. They don't pay attention to it. They pass it on, but they pass it on different than what it was given. That's very common even today, where somebody tells somebody else something, and that person, instead of paying attention to what they've been told, they add to what they've been told, and they change the story. And then they give that story to someone else, and then that person also doesn't pay attention, and they change the story. And you wonder, where did they get that from? It's very important for us to take the Word of God and believe what God says. And the nation of Israel today is still suffering because they have a lot of folklore, but not very many of them actually bother to study the Bible. And because of that, they are still going the wrong way, but they think that they're serving God. They think that they're going the right way. Mr. Netanyahu thinks that way. So do others in Israel today. They think they're serving God. And they probably, in the quietness of their own homes, they're probably wondering, why is God not protecting them more? Why are they having to face Hezbollah and Hamas and Iran and Russia and Qatar? Why are they doing that? Why is the United States becoming more hostile towards Israel? Why is Canada becoming more hostile towards Israel? And they don't understand, they don't want to understand that the problem is that they have forsaken God. And so, God gave this message to Ezekiel as a warning, first of all, to the Jews, that their captivity would be not just for a day. There was a false prophet in the 2 Kings right around the same time as the king of Zedekiah, the false prophet by the name of Zedekiah, who made up a false prophecy at the time when Jeremiah warned of the judgment that was coming. And he was judged by Jeremiah. But the people were confused. They didn't know what to believe and who to believe. And that's very often the case today as well. People don't know what to believe, and so instead of searching it out and letting the Holy Spirit guide them into the truth, they just shrug their shoulders and walk away and say, oh well, whatever happens is going to happen. But that's not the way that God wants us to approach life either. He wants us to have a plan. He wants us to ask Him to make sure that our plan is in accordance with what He wants of us. And He wants to bless us if we will follow Him. And so that's very important. That's why the local church is so important. We need to be faithful in the local church. Lost people don't understand that. They can't understand, why do you have to take Wednesday evening off? Why do you need to have Sundays off? Why can't you be working? They don't understand that. Because for them, all they have is this life. And some of them, they've chosen to believe a lie, and they think that, well, in the end, it'll all work out good because I'm a pretty good person. I don't really try to hurt anybody. And so they justify themselves on their own standard of righteousness. But that standard doesn't hold up. It doesn't count for anything in eternity. And so the nation of Israel in our text, and as we continue looking at the book of Ezekiel, has many things that they're going to be shown by God about their current situation. And there are lessons for us today that we can draw from this as well, and how important it is for us to be sure that we are choosing to follow God and to follow His way and not go our own way. We need to follow what God says, follow God's way in order to know His blessing. He wants to bless us, and He wants us to be a blessing to others. And when we know the truth, and when we live the truth, we can be that blessing to others. And so I trust that each one that's listening today would consider carefully your current attitude towards the truth. Is it the truth? Do you hold to the truth? Or do you try to make up your own version of the truth, which is then called a perversion? Stick to the truth, stick to the facts, and know God's peace and blessing, and seek to help others to know the truth as well. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have Thy Word. We're thankful that we can read Thy Word. We can study Thy Word. We can be blessed in believing and following the truth. We're thankful that we have a merciful God who wants to bless us, who wants to help others to know the truth as well. And we continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that souls in that country and Jews across the world would be saved. Thankful for those Jews that are saved. They're small in number, but we're thankful for those that are saved. And we pray that their voice would be effective in helping others to know the truth. And we pray for the Gentile world as well, as there are many Gentiles who are lost and many Gentiles who are deceived into thinking that they have the truth when they don't. And I pray that there would be Gentiles that would get saved in these days of grace, and for those of us that are saved, that we would want to speak the truth and be faithful to Thee, seeking to help others to know Thy forgiveness in these days of grace. May Thy will be accomplished, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.